for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tuesday morning, July the 4th, 2017. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Let It Be Healed.
Every Bible should turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll just call this Let It Be Healed. Let It Be Healed. There's, for all of us, I believe, there's certain passages of the Scripture that we live in for a while. You know, we live in that passage of Scripture because it has such great meaning to us, comfort to us. Lord, we ask you this morning that you would send a comforter, the Holy Spirit, in this room and comfort every heart that's in here. The comfort of the Holy Ghost come upon all of us, Lord. Oh, thank you, Father, for the comforter. Lord Jesus, thank you for sending the comforter. Praise God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This cloud of witnesses is not grandma and grandpa looking over the banister of heaven down on us. We have these people, you can read about them in Hebrews chapter 11, and these people are a witness to us. All the things they went through, it begins glorious with all these wonderful victories, how men and women stepped out in faith. But you get down toward the end of chapter 11, and it said that others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. It goes on to say that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, that's beatings. Yes, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted and tormented. Why? That doesn't sound like the American dream. That doesn't sound like the message of prosperity. But they didn't accept deliverance. I want to say that deliverance could have been theirs. God can bring you out of every situation you're in. God can bring an end to it. But these did not accept deliverance. They wanted the full work that these tests and trials could work in him. Now the Scripture says that God will not permit more to be put upon us than what we're able to bear. You'll hear that quoted most of the time, God will not put on you more than what you're able to bear. That's a misquote of the Word of God. And it's a lie. God does not put anything on us. Now we see in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2 where the devil tried to get God himself to touch Job. God never would. He gave the devil permission, but he limited the devil. You can go, God has the devil on a short chain, folks. Very short chain. You're not going to go through what you're going through one more day than what you absolutely, that God decides that you need to go through that. But we can extend things ourselves. We'll get to that. We can extend those things. Some of the things that we're going through, we could have been out of a long time ago. But we wouldn't, we'll just have to get to that. But here we're talking about, they didn't accept deliverance. They didn't accept it. That's a strange thing, isn't it? Everybody, almost everyone, wants quick deliverance. Everyone wants to get out of whatever they're in. Just listen to their prayers if you don't believe that. They want out of it. God, why haven't you got me out of this? Why haven't you given me a better job? Why haven't you found me a husband or a wife? Or why haven't you healed? Or why haven't you done this or that? And it's almost talking crazy to say that they didn't accept deliverance. Why didn't they? Praise God. Why didn't they? It said that they may obtain a better resurrection. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was one of those. He talked about in Philippians chapter 3 that we enter into his sufferings. Scripture says we enter into his sufferings. He said that I may know him. Praise God. And the fellowship of his sufferings. That I might know the fellowship of his sufferings. You say that and most people run. They don't want to hear that. We want life to be easy. If we're going to be put in jail, we want the padded cell, you know. Easy one. I'm not meaning for the crazy, but I mean the easy one. We go to jail. I look in there. It's a state-of-the-art, brand-new jail. They don't have bars. They have glass windows. And what those guys have to sleep on, you wouldn't want to sleep on. Anyway, let me say this. You can go willingly, or God can drag you with your heels. You dig it in your heels. Destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Well, I don't like that. And most of us don't. But there's some people that saw something that most people don't see. Now let me say this to you. Most things, before we enter into it, it all depends on our state of mind. Before we enter into it, we're afraid of it. But let me tell you, if you walk with the Lord into it, when you get into it, it won't be as terrible as you thought it was going to be. You'll see when you get in it that, for instance, an example, the fiery furnace looked terrible, didn't it? But when they got in there, it wasn't what they thought it would be. But they were willing. They were willing, but it wasn't what they thought it would be. The lion's den looked terrible, but when he was thrown in there, it wasn't what he thought it would be. Unless that God gave him a word about it. But whatever you think you're facing, let me tell you, it's not going to be what you think it's going to be. Because why? Because he's going to be the fourth man in the fire. You won't even have the smell of smoke on you. Praise God. No singed hair. He'll shut the mouth of the lions, but you're in there, but it's not going to be what you think. Of whom the world was not worthy. There's a friend of mine, he came to our church, and first time he came, he stood in the prayer line. He had been a teacher and a coach out in West Texas, moved back to East Texas, didn't want to be out there anymore. And he came home, and he's a little bit younger than me. He thought he'd just get a job. Well, you know what? They don't hire older ones too much. Have to pay them too much. They want those young ones that are cheap. He couldn't find a job, and things were getting tough. And he was living in a shed, no electricity, no water. I mean, it got down to that. And he stood in the prayer line. When I got to him, the Lord gave a word for him. And the word was, you won't starve. You won't starve. He got so angry. What do you mean? I want to hear, I'm fixing to get a job. This thing's life's going to get easier and better. But you won't starve. And that's what God said to him. Now, he passed through a hard time, but he'll sit there and tell you now. He will tell you that it's okay. It's okay. Praise God. Others had a trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawed asunder or in half. They were tempted, were slain with a sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. Wonder if you can find any of those in Clarence. Being destitute, afflicted, and tempted, of whom the world was not worthy. This world was not worthy of those people. Sometimes we don't know who's among us. Sometimes we don't know the value of those among us. Children, for instance. It really disturbs me to see a minister, pastor, evangelist be praying for in the prayer line and pass over the children like they're not worth anything. Isn't that the attitude the disciples had? But Jesus took them up in his arms and blessed them. He said, "For such is the kingdom of heaven." We tend to like people. We all have this image of the kind of people we like, and we shy away from the others, whatever that is, whatever that image that we have of it that we like. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and they weren't on vacation. These all haven't obtained a good report through faith. You know what? It takes faith to go through those things, doesn't it? Everyone wants faith to get out of it. But sometimes we need faith to go through it. Remember that Abraham and sojourn in tents, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they sojourn in a strange land. It says by faith they sojourn. It takes faith to go. So you want a higher level of faith? There's a higher level of faith than believing God for a new Cadillac. And that's that you can go through these things. And that God will be with you. And that God will get the glory. Because it's all about God getting the glory, not you and me. He doesn't need a new Cadillac. He doesn't need that. Having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. Receive not. What are you going to do when God, you don't get the thing that you believe God promised you? What are you going to do then? You look over earlier in this chapter, it said, these all died in the faith, not having received the promises. What are you going to do when you don't get it? You going to quit? Are you going to get sour, angry, bitter, unbelieving when you don't get what you think God promised you? And He may have promised you. He did promise those men that. The Lord promised me a lot of things about the church I pastor. I haven't seen it yet. He dealt with me about Abraham. He waxed strong in faith. And he those verses in there, Romans. And you know, that really encouraged me. And so I was almost there 25 years. I said, "Oh, I know what it is. When I'm Abraham waited 25 years, when I've been here 25 years, it's going to happen." Somebody warned me about that. I thought, "You're just a faith killer, is what you are." I'm going to tell you, 25 years came and went a long time ago. Then I got to thinking, Noah. Well, let's not go there yet. I don't know that I'll live that long on this earth. But I got to thinking about Moses, 40 years. I said, "Yeah, I'm 39 years this month at that church." I thought, "That's it, 40 years. Praise God, I've been there 40 years. I don't know. You give up. But this is the commitment that I have to make with God. If I die not seeing those promises fulfilled, I'm going to die in faith. Die believing God. How far will God go in testing your faith? I don't know. But it probably is going to be further than you think. You say, "I can't do that." Well, in ourselves, we can't do it. But with God, we can. With God, we can go further than we ever thought we could go. They died not having received the promises. Verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect or may be made complete. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now, there's no division here. You know men put this division here. Wherefore, what is that? It connects verse 1 with the verse 40 of chapter 11, right? It connects them. Wherefore? You understand wherefore? Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I've heard that preached. You've probably heard it preached. They're up there looking out from heaven and cheering us on. No, he's talking about these witnesses here that we just read about. Can they see what's going on with us? I don't know, but the only one real picture we have is Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, and he couldn't see. He could not see. But the rich man could see. You know that the rich man could see. He could even see where Lazarus was, but Lazarus couldn't see him and where he was. Let us lay aside every weight. Do you have some weights this morning? I want to tell you, weights are optional. You don't have to have them. And only God can. Weights can be things like time management, giving the Lord His time, worries, problems, what in the parable of seed and sower, the cares of this life, the desire for other things, the deceitfulness of riches, and it choked out the word. Those are weights. Weights. We came into this world with nothing. We're going to leave with nothing. I preached a lot of funerals. I watched those undertakers pulling off the rings right before they closed the casket, you know, put them in a little pouch. You don't even get to take the rings with you. And the sin which does so easily beset us, sin which does, you and everyone right now, we know what he's talking about, don't we? In our own individual life, we know the sins that are so easily set in us. And don't sit there smug like you don't have some. Well, I'm not doing what they're doing. Well, good that you're not doing, but what are you? What are you doing? What are you doing? What am I doing? The sin that so easily besets us, knocks us out every time. Unless there's some in here that are, that I don't know why God hasn't taken you yet, you're like Enoch. You're not got there, you know. You just waiting in line. Even the Apostle Paul said, "I haven't attained yet, but I press toward the mark of the prize high calling of Christ Jesus." And that's another thing. Are we pressing this morning? The sin which does so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The race that is there is a race. My race is not your race. Your race is not my race. He said it's not wise to compare ourselves with others. Peter tried that when Jesus told him how he's going to die. He said, "Well, what about John?" And the Lord said, "What's that to you? You follow me. You follow me. Don't be worried about somebody else. Lord, it's not fair. This is not about being fair. This is about God, by His Holy Spirit, getting you to heaven. That's what it's about. The race that is set before us. I read in the scripture that if we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. And I do believe that the more you suffer, the more you'll be rewarded. Wouldn't that be better? Why do you want to have it here? Why do you want to have your little heaven on earth here? My wife and I were driving through from Farmersville to into Rockwall. And some of you don't know what I'm talking about. But those houses on the north side of Rockwall, maybe there's some on the south, these folks live in Rockwall, they will blow your mind. I mean, they have heaven on earth and gates to keep you out of it. It's awesome. Awesome. Why do you want it here? Aren't we going to give account? I'll go on. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You didn't start it, and you're not going to finish it. It's Him. And because we're not the author, we didn't start. He said in John chapter 1, not by the will of man. Okay? Not by the will of man. And the finisher. And because He's the finisher, it's going to finish like He wants it to finish. Of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before Him. We see two sets here. The word set. Verse 1, the race that is set before us. And then we see in verse 2, the joy that was set before Him. Endured the cross. The joy. I believe that there's the Lord. I believe in the catching away of the church. It's in the scripture, folks. You can't deny this in it. When He descends from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up to meet them in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. What are you going to do about that? It's in there. Now, are we going to go through the tribulation or not? I can't answer that, and I'm not going to answer that. But the thing is, the thing is, Jesus so emphatically taught us to watch and be ready. Did he not? And when we begin to teach that we're going through tribulation, and people are getting ready to go through tribulation, then are we still watching and being ready? You understand? Does that take away the watching and ready for us coming, and instead we're preparing to go through a tribulation? I believe this nation is going to go through a tribulation. Whether it's the great tribulation, I mean, that's coming someday, but look, folks, right now, there are people all over this world going through tribulation that we don't know anything about, but we're going to know. Because it's coming home. Here. Someday. The joy that is... Don't take people's joy away. What does some of this teaching do? It produces fear. Anxiety. And we're going to go through all these terrible things. But for the joy, he said, when you see these things, look up, your redemption draws nigh. The joy that is set before us. Keep always in mind that there's joy set before us, is there not? We all are not as joyful as he. I don't know who's more joyful, the chairs or you. I remember them preaching the Lord. He's coming soon, he's coming soon. We used to sing songs like that. Where'd that go? Where'd it go? Why aren't we hearing that anymore? Why aren't we singing it anymore? I'll tell you what, some things have come in. Prosperity preaching. Why do you want to go to heaven? This is really good. I'm having the time of my life. I'm driving what, and I'm living in what I always wanted to live in. Okay, that's enough. He endured the cross. Despising the shame, the humbling, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me say something about being humble. That's a good thing, isn't it? It's good to be humble. For consider him, but you know what we do? We'll fight that with everything we got in us. I am not going to be humbled. We'll do whatever it takes to keep from being humbled. And consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Contradiction of sinners against himself. We haven't really seen that yet. Just because somebody snickered at you. That's not. Lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Wearied and faint in your minds. What are we getting wearied and faint over? The car payment, the house payment. Our next door neighbor is not nice to us. The kids are going crazy, whatever. We're even thinking our minds. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You know what most of the church is striving against? Their car payment, their house payment, their, you know, all that kind of thing. And you have forgotten the exercise. You know what I'm trying to say to you, if you can catch this? We have got our focus off. We have got our focus off. And I believe God is going to let things come so we can get our focus back like it ought to be. Amen? Like it ought to be. There was a lady supporting our ministry there for 2 years. And I mean, she was supporting it. I mean, we died and went to heaven. It was wonderful. She's really supporting us. And the Lord spoke to me and said, he said her name and said, this person is not your source. I am. 2 weeks later, this person called me up and said, I'm not going to help you anymore. I just thought the Lord wanted me to refocus, make sure, yes, Lord, I know you are it, and I'm going to keep that in focus. No, he meant more than that. And that was a little over 2 years ago now. You know what? We're still breathing and eating and doing what God wants us to do. Praise God. I remember one time the top tithe pair in the church. I mean, their tithes more than everybody else put together. And the wife came to me. She came to me. We're leaving. I went home. I couldn't sleep that night. I cried on it. Oh, God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Never missed a beat. Praise God. And you may lose your job and wonder what you're going to do. Well, that just shows something. That shows that your job, you thought your job was your source instead of God. You've not resisted. We had two gardens, and we knew a rain was coming. This is in back in the spring. And we tilled it, we worked it, we put manure in it. We out of a bag, please. And we did all this, and we just really was ready, and the rain came with 7 or 8 inches, and it washed gullies through there, it washed that much topsoil off, and we don't know. I think the okra survived. Well, praise God. You realize your garden's not feeding you. God is. God is. If you ever get your eyes off of Him as your source, and if He really is working in your life, He's going to take away what you think is your source, so you come back to Him and trust in Him. And it may happen many times over your lifetime. You have not resisted unto blood striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. Unto children. Isn't that interesting? My son, you say, children, I'm not a child anymore. I was there, I'm over here now. But he says, children, my son, despise not you the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you're rebuked of Him. When I first went to the church, the Lord, I didn't see, I was young. And those people were mean. They had run off every pastor they ever had except for one. And praise God, so far I'm number two. But, and the church was founded back in 1935, something like that. And I'm just telling you, they were mean. And I preached this sermon on the pastor supposed to reprove, rebuke. And when I said the word rebuke, you just thought, I don't know what. It was the response I got out of them. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Get ready, because God is going to rebuke you. And none of us are above being rebuked. And you have never got rebuking like God can rebuke. When He rebukes, you're going to feel it. I'm going to feel it. When He rebukes, you're going to know you're being rebuked. And you know what? You're not going to talk back to Him. And you're not going to argue with Him, because that won't work. Don't please and plead and all this. When He rebukes, you are being rebuked. And everyone in here is going to be rebuked. And it's going to be a lot of times in our life that we are rebuked. So get off the pride thing that thinks you're above being rebuked. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And scourges, and that word actually means beats, every son whom He receives. He's got a big belt. And He will use it, and He's not afraid of child protective services. He's not raising brats. He's not raised. I'll tell you what, if you talk about a father, and we think the devil's doing it. Well, in a sense, the devil is doing it, yes, but the Lord is letting him, just like He let down the hedge around Job. And you're going to know when the hedge is down. And it's going to be pretty obvious when it's down. He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. Has He received you? Well, you have to receive Him. As many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. So if He receives you, now everyone that says a sinner's prayer, repeats a sinner's prayer, signs a decision card, stands up and makes profession of faith, gets dunked in water, is not received. Let me tell you, they're not all received. And just because we sing praise and worship songs doesn't mean He's receiving it. And just because we pray doesn't mean He's hearing us. You know this scripture is all about that. Who does the Lord hear? And he said, if we regard iniquity in our heart, He will not hear us. The same has to go for praise and worship and many other things. Let me say, so maybe you're thinking, am I really saved? Well, I tell you, you are. There's going to be a witness of the Spirit. Read that in Romans chapter 8. His Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And nobody's going to have to tell you. You know, you say that prayer and they'll say, oh, you're saved. Well, if you're saved, you're going to have a witness of the Spirit. There was a man in jail. I knew him. And I passed out some books. There's one of them back there about overcoming. And we passed him out free in that jail. And he got put in, they call it segregation. He used to call it solitary confinement, but they've got a nicer word now. They call it segregation. So he got put in there, and he was so upset and angry because he felt like he didn't do anything wrong. And he was in there, he had that book in there. And he read it through almost twice. Now, he had already been baptized by those Baptist people that run that thing, that ministry. So he's sitting there in the meeting after he got released, and the first thing he said, I read that book through twice and I got saved. And one of those Baptist men in there said, oh, I tell you, the anger came out of him. What do you mean you were already saved? I mean, he just chewed him up and spit him out. The witness of the Spirit. And if you lose that witness, you better get to praying and searching your heart. Is that right? If you haven't felt God in a while, it's time to do a reality check and see what's going on. I tell you, if you haven't felt His presence, the witness of the Spirit, and let me say something else, if He's not chastening you, you better start checking. I've told you, some of you heard me tell this, but the Wesley brothers, and I don't remember which one, it was John or Charles, but he was riding along with his horse, he doing circuit preaching. They wouldn't let him preach in their churches, the official churches. And he realized no one had thrown anything at him for a while. He got convicted, got down off his horse, knelt down to start praying and repenting, said, God, what's going on? Nobody's thrown anything. I mean, rotten eggs, rocks, whatever. He's praying, and one hit him in the back of the head. And he said, praise God, thank you, Jesus. Got back on his horse and went on. You haven't got hit by a rock lately. You need to be checking out here. And God's got rocks too. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you illegitimate, and I'm not going to use the other word. You're illegitimate and not sons. I don't say the other word for donkey either. People have taken words and made bad words out of them. And so we just, they're children, and I don't, you know. Then are you illegitimate and not sons? So if you're not being chastened this morning, then you're not even a child of God. So we have the witness of the Spirit, but then we have the chastening of the Lord. Furthermore, it's not about whether you're prospering or not, folks. That's not a sign that you're saved, okay? There are too many people that are filthy rich that are not saved. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And what does living depend upon? Us being in subjection. To where we quit fighting and begin to embrace the chastening of the Lord. And quit, rebuking the devil when it's the Lord allowing it. Just get right and the thing will stop. You know that? Let it have its work, and it'll stop. That one will stop anyway. For they barely for a few days, praise God, chasing us after their own pleasure. Why does he say a few days? Because when God chastens you, it can last for years. So I don't like that. Well, do you want to go to heaven? You don't, and I don't know what it's going to take to make heaven, but God knows. I'm talking about us as individuals. Let God decide that. How do we know all this? All of a sudden we're this expert. No, we never were an expert. We're never going to be an expert. Some people think they're an expert. May God deliver us from that. For a few days chastens us after their own pleasure. But He, for our profit, and if you can just tell yourself, God is allowing this. God is chastening me. Now, He uses the devil. He uses different things. Why hasn't God gotten rid of the devil? He could have done it a long time ago. Because He uses him. For our own profit, that we may be partakers of what? His holiness. Have we forgot about being holy? Or His holiness? Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. You're going to cry tears over this. You're going to feel real pain. Rejection, that's all going to be there. It doesn't seem to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. There will be an afterward, praise God. There will be an afterward. This too shall pass. When you pass the test, it'll pass. It yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness. If the righteousness you have is not peaceful, then you didn't get the right righteousness. If it's condemning, if it's judgmental, if it's self-righteousness, then you didn't get the right righteousness, which are exercised thereby. Now, if we say we could form a line this morning, everybody wants to sign up for what we're talking about. Who wants to be first in line to be chastened and to be scourged? Praise God. It's grievous, isn't it? It's supposed to be. You spank your child, they say, "That hurt." I'll tell them, it's supposed to hurt. Right? If it doesn't hurt, it's not going to do any good. Wherefore, lift up hands which hang down in the feeble knees. Now listen. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. This is what the Lord wants to say to us this morning. Let it be healed. Whatever you're going through this morning, whoever has hurt you, maybe it was way back there somewhere and you haven't let it be healed yet. You and I have to let it be healed. God cannot heal it if we don't let it be healed. The things that have happened to you, the words that were said to you, the things that didn't happen that you felt like should have happened, the words that weren't spoken to you that you felt like you deserved. Let it be healed. Let it be. You know, in the church, I don't even know how many years ago, a long time ago, we were really good. We built a new building. We were flying high, so to speak. If I wanted to go to Mexico, I just told them the money was there. Just doing great. And I started preaching on Galatians 2:20. And where he said, "The life that I now live, I live by the faith." He said, "It's no longer I, but Christ that lives in me." And he said, "I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me." I began to preach about Christ living His life through us and us being crucified. I didn't know people didn't want to hear that. I thought, does everybody want that? And a friend of mine got a tape, one of the tapes of that. I preached many sermons. I was so serious. And he gave it to a friend who was an evangelist. He called up and said, "I just want to talk to a preacher that preaches that kind of thing. How's it going?" Well, it didn't go good. And it's like somebody flipped the switch and everybody left, almost everybody. We had 11 left counting the kids. And that went on like that for 7 years. And I was wounded. You ever been wounded? How many of you in here have ever been wounded? Are you wounded this morning? A wounded spirit. This is not a broken spirit, folks. A broken and contrite spirit He will not despise. But He doesn't like our stinky, wounded spirits. They are bitterness. That's what they become. It's a root of bitterness. He doesn't like your wounded spirit. Wounded spirits make us treat people wrong. Even God. Wounded spirits discourage. Wounded spirits cause people to drop out of the race that's set before them. Wounded spirits, they won't run it with patience. Wounded spirits cause you to defend yourself. You're always defensive. People saying or doing things. A wounded spirit makes you critical. Wounded spirits are bad. Okay? They're really bad. I had a wounded spirit. I thought I had a right to have a wounded spirit. Ask me and I'll tell you. Well, I have a right to have a wounded spirit. Do you have a wounded spirit this morning? But a broken, he said, he'll look to the one that has a broken and contrite spirit. The difference is that God, the broken and contrite spirit has to come from God. It doesn't, it's not something that's happened. That you don't, God has to, the Holy Ghost has to break you. The chastening of the Lord can break us. No one's going to heaven that doesn't have a broken and contrite spirit. God's not letting that in heaven. What's the opposite of broken and contrite spirit? It's a proudful spirit. Pride. I deserve this. Don't listen to the world. You deserve. We don't deserve anything. If we got what we deserve, we'd all been frying in hell a long time ago. He said, let it be healed. Well, the lady evangelist come by, and she was praying for people, and she prayed for me, and she told me I had a wounded spirit. I didn't like her after that. I didn't like it. She exposed what was in me. I had a wounded spirit. But it was good. She told me, and I began, thank God for people that speak truth to me. And so I began to ponder that and think about it. God showed me I did. And there was one couple that stayed with us, and they were so good to us. I mean good to us. And he developed somehow liver cancer. He lived 1 month from the time the doctor told him he had pneumonia. Missed that. And he lived 1 month. And I did the scene that morning in Paris, Texas, and I was going to Greenville for an appointment. And my wife got a hold of me, and my late wife, and said, he's dying. You got to get back up there. He can't be. And I'm driving there, and that's before cell phones, so I'll tell you a little something. I'm driving up there, and I'm crying. I said, God, you can't let this man die. I caught myself. I was sinking into that wounded spirit thing. And it came to me, rather let it be healed. And I, in the name of Jesus, said, Lord, I'm going to let this be healed. I didn't know if he's still alive or not, but he was already passed. I'm going to let it be healed. And when you see you're sinking into the wounded spirit, I know they got programs for wounded warriors, but we're talking about something different here. God has no programs for wounded spirits. They got to go. Rather let it be healed. Maybe your mama did something to you, your brother, your sister, your daddy, your aunt, your uncle, somebody said something. All of us have those images in our mind, those pictures of what happened to us. I know that. I do too. But rather let it be healed. It's holding you back. Follow peace with all men and holiness with that which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man should fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. A wounded spirit will defile everyone around you. That's right. A wounded spirit will. And I'm not being light with this. This is not a lightness about this. Some of you have gone through, some of you are going through some terrible things. It's the real scourging. But the thing is, we've got to see God's purpose. Romans 8, 28 says, for whom he foreknew, he predestined. Excuse me, that's 29. He said that we know that all things, verse 28, we know that all things work together for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Okay, the motor blows up in your truck and you think, well, praise God, that means I'm going to get a new truck. No, you may be walking. You may be walking. But the next verse says, for, that's a conjunction, puts those two verses together, but you don't hear them quoted together, do you? For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, his Son, might be the firstborn of them, many brethren. That the problem is, our purpose is not the same as God's purpose for the most part. Our purpose is what our goals and plans and life, what we think we deserve, what we want. See, we have our purpose, and it's all tied to the world. But God has a purpose which is so different from the world's purpose. And his purpose is that we become like his Son, that we come into the image of His Son. You know, God created us in the... He said He created man in the image of God. Let us make man in our image. That image was lost through sin. God wants to bring us back to that image in His Son, be conformed to the image of His Son. And that's His purpose. And whatever it takes, God is willing to do it. If we'll let Him. If we don't get bitter, if we don't get faint, if we don't drop out, He's going to put us back into create the image of His Son in us again. That's why all things work together for good. The good and the purpose is that we come back into the image of God, which is the image of His Son. Will you let Him do that? Will you let these things be healed, knowing that they're working in you a far greater thing? Praise God. They're working in us a better resurrection. A better resurrection. There's more. You know, everyone's going to be resurrected. Did you know that? Everyone is. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after death, the judgment. Once to die. And one judgment. That's appointed. And there's going to be some. That's called the first resurrection. You read that in Revelation. The first resurrection. Blessed are they that are part of the first resurrection. Because there's two deaths. Appointed unto man once to die. There's this natural death, and there's a second death, which is the lake of fire. And He said that they don't, blessed are those that are part of the first resurrection, that they don't be part of the second death. That's what God wants for you and me. That we be part of the first resurrection. We don't taste that second death. Oh, hallelujah. Will you let Him work that in you? And you're not smarter than God, and I'm not smarter than God. And we need to, what He said, be in subjection. They reverenced. Let us reverence God this morning. Let it be healed. Praise God. God's doing a wonderful work in us, and it's not all shouting and falling out on the floor and be blessed and run the aisle and getting a better job or whatever. More pay. Praise God. Will you stand with me this morning? There are some in here this morning that need to let it be healed. It's time. That's long enough. You have, and I'm not trying to be ugly to anybody. I know things hurt. But it's time to let it be healed. God does not want you to leave this meeting still wounded. You may never get back what you had. You may never come back to that. You may never have as much money as you once had. You may never have the health you once had. You may never have the friends that were lost again. You may never have a friend, except what a friend we have in Jesus. That's not what this life's about. This life is about us giving us a space and time to be conformed to the image of His Son. That we might grow into Christ in all things, the full stature and measure of Christ. That Christ be formed in us. That we may behold Him in the Spirit and be changed the same in 2 Corinthians 3:18. That's what He wants. And when we can get our purpose aligned with His purpose, and when the good is for us, what we think is good is the same as what He thinks is good. We're being called out of this world. Amen. Out of it. We are being called to holiness. That we might see Him. Because without holiness, no man's going to see Him. Let God. I know the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. I know those things. I know that. But sometimes, many times, the only thing that's going to work in our life, only thing, is the chastening and the scourging of the Lord. That's the only thing that's going to work. That's the truth. The only thing that's going to work. We ought to be thanking Him instead of cursing the day we were born. We ought to be giving Him praise and glory. Thank you, Lord, that you love me because everyone He loves will take me. That you love me enough to rebuke me, to chasten me, to deal with me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, praise God. And let it be healed. Praise God, praise God. You're here this morning, you want to let it be healed. I just want you to come and stand across the front. You want it to be healed. All of us have these things. It's time. You see, it's time. I want this healed. I want this healed. Does that mean it's going to change? May not. May not. You may go on in this for till the day you pass from this life. I don't know. About that? Well, you ought to be if it's going to make you the image of Christ. You ought to be His free, praise God. Hallelujah. I know what God can do when you sit back or stand back or sit back there. God will tell you what will come up. Act of faith. Be grateful. Maybe God will give you a word. Don't know. It's going to be better. Praise God. Sermon preached an awesome message, called people up for prayer. And the noise in the back of this sanctuary got so loud you couldn't hear up here. That's not right. It's a holy place. Right? So when you get home, just hold it. You just need to know that. Be respectful of your praise, God. Go outside if you need to talk. Thank you, Jesus. How do you know we need more respect in the house of God? I know I grew up like you did. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's get ready to be healed. Amen. Let's get ready to be healed. Hallelujah. Just cry out to Him. Lord, Lord, let us be healed. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.